Our passage of scripture this evening is Psalm 94 as we continue through the Psalms, Psalm 94. O Lord, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth, rise up, O Judge of the earth, render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked triumph? They utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of men, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest all the days of adversity, until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will raise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up in the multitude of my anxieties within me. Your comfort delights my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. The title of my message to you tonight is The Cry and Confidence of an Oppressed Believer. And what we see here, there is a call and a cry here, a prayer, and it's a prayer for vengeance, and yet there is also confidence in God that's expressed in this psalm. As well, it's the balance of a mature believer who's going through very difficult times, and he's seeing, it seems, the wicked are winning. And so the first part of this message tonight is a call for vengeance against the wicked, Psalm 94, 1 through 7. We are not allowed to exact vengeance, but we can pray for it. O Lord, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Psalm 94, 1. In the New Testament, we read, vengeance is the Lord's, or it belongs to the Lord. And here we see, here in the Old Testament, Psalms, vengeance belongs to the Lord God. Repay no one for evil, it says in Romans 12. 17 through 21, repay no one for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Notice it says there, you give your enemy drink to be kind to him, do these things, nice things for him, but Let's say you do all that for your enemy, and he still is your enemy, and he's still coming against you. You are not overcome by evil, and in doing so, you're putting coals of fire on his head. You are gaining vengeance by being kind, because God will bring those, the vengeance in the end. When somebody is evil, God repays. Second, we can and should pray for the punishment of the wicked and the end of their seeming success. He says in verse 2 and verse 3, "Rise up, O judge of the earth, render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked triumph?" They win and they win and they win, and it seems the ungodly are marching, and they seem almost unopposable in some of the things they do, and yet they won't march forever. They will have an end. They will be destroyed. Here the psalmist asks, how long will this be? Here the psalmist provides reasons for their judgment. Surely God knows these things, but if we're going to pray against anyone, we should be able to enumerate reasons why we pray against a person. One, wicked speech and pride. It says in Psalm 94:4, they utter speech and speak insolent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. C.H. Spurgeon said, the ungodly are not content with deeds of injustice, but they add hard speeches, boasting, threatening, and insulting over the saints. LeBlanc says, for utter, the Hebrew is, they shall flow, they shall cast forth. The metaphor is taken from fountains springing out of a rock with a rush and abundance of water, where the abundance of words is noted, their rashness, their waste, their profusion, their sound, their eagerness, their countenance, and all the difficulty of instructing them. Meaning their words flow out forever, and they give speeches after speeches, and they fill the world with their words, and all these words are wicked, and the wicked hear them and march to their orders. But these are burdensome to the godly to hear these things. Violence, though, not just violence against God's people. It says in verse 5, they break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage, Psalm 94:5. This is what we see throughout the earth. Christians being persecuted, and in North Korea, if you had a Bible study, they could take you out in the street, and the punishment for having a Bible study was to roll you over with a steamroller and crush you. And if you're a Christian in a Muslim land, they behead you, or they take your wife and force her into their service. These are the things that happen all through the world. There is the murder of the weak. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless, Psalm 94:6. Yet with all these sins, they have convinced themselves God does not see. He will not judge them nor hold them accountable for wickedness. Verse 7 says, yet they say the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. They think God doesn't exist. They think he's blind. They think that he's on their side. He doesn't see what they do. Some of them think of themselves as like gods themselves. Secondly, in this psalm, in verses 8 through 11, we have a direct address to the wicked. First, he talks about them and he calls for their judgment from God. But then, secondly, he gives them an address. He speaks to them. The people the psalmist calls senseless and fools are unbelievers. He says, understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? I think it's interesting. He points out before this verse that they think God cannot see, that God doesn't have ears to hear, that God doesn't have eyes to see. But they are the truly senseless ones because they're not seeing God. They're not seeing the judgment that he's going to bring. They are the senseless ones. They are the fools. They are the people who think God does not see or hear or know. Psalm 94, 9 and 10, the verses that are for memory, or at least one of them. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge. It's God who sees and hears. He's created our ears and our eyes, even our noses and mouths. And you know, the front of your bulletin shows this picture of these things going with that verse. David Menton, I've shown, at least some of you have seen the, he has a video called The Seeing Eye, and he talks about how wonderfully our human eyes are made, and how that shows that we have a creator that designed us, and he designed us to be able to see, to be able to hear, to have senses, to taste and see that the Lord is good. And yet some think he can't see us, or he doesn't have an intelligence to know us. Some say God is a force. May the force be with you. Well, a force like electricity doesn't see you. They're putting God to be something inferior to themselves. But God is tripersonal. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just as we are personal, so is he personal. Just as we can see, and he's given us that ability, he has ability of perception and seeing that we can't even imagine. Our eyes and ears are wonderfully designed things, and we should expect that he who is intelligent enough to make such things can see and hear himself. John Trapp says, he that planted the ear, shall the author of these senses be senseless? No, he's not. He sees and he knows. The people who think God does not see or hear are the senseless ones themselves. He not only sees and hears himself, but he is our teacher. It is the thoughts of men that are futile. The Lord knows the thoughts of men, that they are futile. Psalm 94:11. We have thoughts that are our own, that are wicked, that go far away from God. And these are the futile thoughts. Thirdly, there's a recognition in this psalm of God's blessings of the righteous despite the difficult days. In verses 12 through 15, opposite of the ungodly who do not recognize God as a teacher is the man who actually benefits, or the woman who actually benefits from God's instruction. Blessed is the man, verse 12, whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. If God is teaching us, what a blessing that is. Some people pay thousands and thousands of dollars to go to college to have some people that are not really that smart teach them. But we have a God who would teach us, who would show us, the God of the universe, the God who knows everything, to teach us. And we have that when we go to the scripture. He says, and teach out of your law. Well, the law refers to the Bible, the words of God. Blessed is the man. In the King James, it's not whom you instruct, it's blessed is the man whom you chastise, who chastenest, to be exact, who you chastenest. And it means that in the ESV, the English Standard Version, that word is discipline. And so when we go through difficult times, even if it's oppression from evil people, God is in control of that, and he's using those things to discipline us, to train us, to help us be better than what we are. And so even the difficulties we have in this world are part of God's training us and teaching us. Even in adversity, the righteous avoid the pitfalls of the wicked. Verses 12 through 15, he says, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Why does God allow evil to continue in this world? Well, here we have one of the reasons in this verse. He says that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. The reason God allows evil to continue is because the wicked are digging a pit for themselves. All the things they do to oppress, all the things they do that are wrong, all the evil things they think of, they are digging a deeper pit for themselves. Think of Mordecai and Haman. Haman decided not just to hate Mordecai and hate the Jews, but he decided to build a great gallows, very tall and high, to hang Haman on. He wanted everybody to see Haman or Mordecai hanging. But he built it for himself. And when the wicked do what they do, they are destroying not us, even though they may hurt us. Ultimately, even if they kill us, we go to heaven. But they're hurting themselves. They increase the heat of hell with their own cruel and vicious actions. Fourthly, we see in this passage a call for a champion and a recognition of the Lord's help. Verses 16 through 19. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will uphold me. The question of verse 16, who will rise up for me against evildoers, is rhetorical. It's sometimes human beings are the ones that rise up. When you think of it, it says in Daniel 11:32, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And there are times, I believe that verse, Daniel 11:32, is referring to the Maccabees. Even though they're not mentioned in Scripture, they were the ones during the time of Antiochus Epiphanes who retook the temple. And when the Jews celebrate Hanukkah, they're celebrating what the Maccabees did. And there's nothing in that as Christians we cannot also celebrate. These men were valiant men who knew their God and fought for what was right and good when they saw evil going on. Like David against Goliath, sometimes the men of faith take great stands against evil, and that's what is pictured here. He's crying and asking, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Yet who will rise up here is also answered in verses 17 and 18. The Lord was his help, the Lord himself. He didn't need a human being because he said, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will uphold me. And so while he might have been looking for a human help, he knew he had the Lord's help. He knew the Lord would be there, that he would give him strength. And it's the Lord who helps even leaders when they are tempted to give up or give in, when our feet tend towards slipping. It's the Lord that upholds us. It's the Lord that keeps us going. It's the Lord that keeps us from giving up. God is the comfort of the godly. Our anxieties are our own. He says, in the multitude of my anxieties, we worry about so many things. We have all these anxieties. And he's saying, this psalmist is admitting, I have a whole lot of anxieties. I see all these things happening around me and it bothers me. But he says, in the multitudes of my anxieties, in the middle of these things, your comforts delight my soul. Have you experienced that yourself? In the middle of all kinds of difficulties, God still can comfort you. He can still give you a delight. He can still be there for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the God of peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we keep our mind stayed on the Lord, even in difficult times, we can be strong and we can have a peace even in the midst of chaos. Fifth, a final consideration of the wicked and their end. Psalm 94, verses 20 through 23. An ungodly government makes what is against God's law illegal. In doing this, they are lying, pretending God's endorsement because he is the ultimate judge, but they do not have fellowship with God. Verse 20 says, shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, the throne of iniquity, that's a government, an ungodly government, the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, meaning abortion is a good example of that. Make abortion legal. It's actually making murder legal. And when they do that, do they have fellowship with the Lord? Some pretend they do, but they don't. God is not with them in that. Whatever they devise, whatever law they make that's against God's law, whatever it is, it's still illegal in God's sight. It says they gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. The throne of iniquity is the name given to governments that legalize unrighteousness. And by condemning innocent blood, we see the example of that today. Unborn babies can't be more innocent than that. Now, in the sense that they are innocent before God, we're all sinners, even the unborn babies. But they're innocent in that they have not committed any sins against us. They haven't committed any human crimes. There's no reason to put them to death like they were criminals. That's why he calls them innocent. The psalmist claims the Lord's defense, but the ungodly, even in government, will be cut off. He says, but the Lord has been my defense, meaning in the midst of this difficulty, God had been sustaining this psalmist. And my God, the rock of my refuge, God had been there for him. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Twice he says that, shall cut them off. He's referring to the wicked. He's referring to the ungodly, people who make up laws that are against God's law. And he condemns them. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage and how it speaks to us even today, how it's true through all ages. You are always righteous, and the wicked are always wicked. And those who do not follow your laws, even though they make things legal, are lawless and godless and wicked. And Father, help us to see these things. Help us to understand what your scripture is telling us. In the midst of oppression and difficulty, we can be strong. We can be your people and do your will. And we pray you'd help us to do that. Help us to know when to be peaceful as we seek to be right, because you say you are the one that ultimately puts government in place. And yet also you show in your scripture there's a time for us to take a stand and a time for us to take the other side when the ungodly are flourishing and aiming to destroy the righteous. And so, Father, we thank you for this Psalm 94, and we pray that you'd be with us through this night and through the next week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.